was at midnight. And stay tuned for Back of the Book. And thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Never,
never be. 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
It's 5 o'clock.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I strongly suspect that it's a warm 5 a.m. and you're listening to all Welcome to Midsummer Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things, and you could find out a little bit more about those things by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And you can look around up there. When you get there, you'll see a navigation frame on the left side of your screen. And at the top, it will say latest Back of the Book program links. Click on that and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. This is our 143rd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in all the inhabited worlds of the multiverse for this week is: we have dropped back to 124 followers on Twitter. Yeah, we've lost two in the past 2 weeks. Oh, my. Ah, but it's still a huge, gigantic number which impresses everyone. The next WBAI local station board meeting will be a special one held this coming Wednesday, July 26th, 2023, at 7 p.m. with the LSB and the general manager talking about the current situation and how to increase audience and revenue in the short term. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be on Wednesday, August 9th, 2023, at 7 p.m. Both of these meetings will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The CDC website isn't giving us all that much information about COVID-19 in America these days, although they're saying that total deaths in America are at 1,135,364, which means that, by my count, 654 people have died of COVID-19 since our last program a week ago. That would mean about around 240 more people died of COVID-19 this past week than had died of it in the previous week. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on most of the time. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations and our bivalent booster shots. When the new boosters are put out in the autumn, I'm sure we'll get those too. And Pickles and I have noticed something in the New York Times regarding COVID-19 and what the status of the pandemic is.
Yes, this was in Tuesday's Times, and it's an article entitled, "Finally, a Positive Milestone, COVID is Now an Ordinary Illness." And it's by David Leonhardt, and it talks about the death rates from COVID, which were really inflated for the past largely 3 years, and they aren't anymore. And this is according to the Human Mortality Database, also the CDC, and, well, those two sources are saying that, yes, that there are not grossly inflated numbers of deaths anymore.
Yes, that's the excess deaths category in the CDC, because they do the morbidity and mortality report every week. And I remember when we were doing programming in the early 80s about HIV and AIDS, we used to get that every week and go, oh, and but they also, you know, they still put it out. They've been putting it out for, I don't know how many decades, and they put it out for COVID-19. And the thing is, they say excess deaths really measures it better than reporting. Because with reporting, you have people saying, "Oh, this wasn't COVID-19; it was something else." For political reasons or whatever reasons, sometimes families feel, "Oh, we don't want to be stained with the shame that the person has died of COVID-19," which of course simply means that they were breathing and stuff like that. But you can't do that with simply deaths. And the CDC looks and sees, it categorizes deaths, and it sees how many people died of this, that, and the other thing. And there's going to be like pneumonia and cancer and various things, heart disease, all of these kinds of categories. And then when there are no more of the categories, they see how many total deaths there are, and they subtract the categories, and that's what's called excess deaths. And so what they do is they then look at them and they say, well, how much of this might be from COVID-19? And they can't really get a great answer from that. But when the COVID-19 pandemic was hitting hard 2 and 3 years ago, it really inflated it like crazy, and you could tell that it was COVID-19 doing it.
And apparently it was by 30%, which is a gigantic number.
Pretty large.
And then it says in the article there were stretches during that time, you know, but the 30% was the worst time of it all. And then there were stretches where it was 10%, which was still bad. And now the CDC puts it at 1%, which is really amazing. And the reasons why are a lot of people got their first vaccine shot against COVID, which did help keep people alive and not sick. And apparently more than 3/4 of Americans have gotten COVID at least once, and if not, you know, multiple times. And we have treatments now that keep people alive. You know, people can take a pill now.
Yeah, Paxlovid.
Yes,
after you get it,
yes.
Paxlovid is saving lives. And the vaccines have saved a lot of lives. And between the vaccines and people getting it and surviving, largely due to Paxlovid and stuff like that, a lot of Americans are now they're not necessarily immune, but they have an ability to resist the worst ravages of COVID-19.
Yes. And it turns out that the vaccines work for people whose immune systems are compromised. There's a subset of people in that group people who are undergoing chemotherapy, people who have had transplants. It doesn't work for them so well, but for many other people, it does. And we found this out after 3 years. So this is really a really good thing, although there is still a pandemic going on because largely because things can still mutate. Enough time will go by if things don't mutate horribly, then at some point the pandemic will be declared over. It's not yet, but things are so much better now than they were at the beginning of the pandemic.
And in that Times article, they have a quote from Dr. Ashish Jha, who was until recently President Biden's top COVID advisor. And he says, "I don't know anybody who thinks we're going to eradicate COVID," unquote. So it's here with us. We're going to have it for the rest of our lives, in our lives, and we're going to have to be careful, but we'll probably have to get shots the way we get shots for the flu every autumn.
And largely the people who are passing away from COVID now are people who have refused to get to be vaccinated. And apparently a lot of them are white Republicans, which is, you know, shows you how this whole illness and the course of treatment has been politicized. And that has killed people.
Well, by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, it will be midsummer. As we record this on Friday evening, it is still early summer. So the switch from early summer to midsummer will have occurred at 1:17 a.m. Saturday morning. So those of you listening to us on the air, merry midsummer! So this isn't about anybody at BAI or anything, but we turned on the TV set this past Monday at noon to watch the news. And toward the front of the news, they flashed a card that had a picture of Elise Finch on it. Elise Finch is the morning weather person at and some other stuff at WCBS Channel 2 in New York. And Pickles and I hardly saw it because it came after some commercials and it was up there for like a couple seconds and went away. And we automatically ignore commercials on TV. So we saw something. We said, "What was that?" We kind of saw her picture on a card there. We said, "Well, what was that?" And we wondered what had happened. And then they announced that Elise Finch, weather reporter on WCBS TV for the morning news, had died. The people at CBS were all rather stricken by her totally unexpected death, and some of them were emotional about it on the air, very understandable. And the news people were all wearing black for that particular broadcast. They said that Ms. Finch, who was 51 years old, had died at a local hospital on Sunday, the day before we were watching it. Her cause of death was not announced. And WCBS's official announcement was, quote, "Elise was a gifted and consummate professional who took great care with her work. She was also a wonderful ambassador in the community, including her hometown of Mount Vernon," unquote. So someone we were very used to seeing on TV has suddenly died, and it wasn't like she had gotten old or anything. 51 is not old, especially to those of us who are well past 51. And at this time, we still don't know what the cause of death was, but geez, it's really so bad. She was good on the weather reports and all of that. And, you know, she was a bright light on those morning news broadcasts. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. And a decision came in about something that we'd talked about over a year ago. And after about an hour of deliberations, five members of a right-wing white nationalist hate group called Patriot Front were convicted of conspiracy to riot at a 2022 Pride event in Idaho. And you may remember these are the guys who showed up in a van or a truck, and they all came pouring out of it. There were 31 of them. And they get out of this thing, and they start putting on body armor, and they have batons to hit people with and helmets and all these things. And, yeah, they were getting ready to go have a riot on gay people with a pride event. But people saw them. Apparently these morons didn't understand that most people aren't going to just stand there gawking when a whole bunch of guys gets out and starts putting on stuff that makes it look like they're going to do something bad to some people. And so people called the cops and said, hey, there's a small army getting ready over here to do something. You might want to look at this. And so the cops showed up and said, hello. And they arrested these bozos. And so it's taken a little while, but five of them have been convicted. I don't know what the other 26 had happened to them. Did the other 26 cop pleas? Did the other 26 not get prosecuted? I don't know any of that. But they were convicted, and it's a misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor, so it's like at most a one-year prison stretch and a $5,000 fine. Those are the maximum penalties for this misdemeanor. But at least they got them, they stopped them, and they're convicted. And if they didn't have criminal records before, they got them now. So that's a good thing. I'm glad that, you know, 1 hour of deliberation means it was a slam dunk. So, I mean, that means the jury didn't even bother to say, let's hang around until they feed us lunch, you know, and then we'll just give the verdict and run out. I've been on juries where making sure that we got fed lunch was a very high priority. But anyway, so yeah, so these five morons were convicted, and I don't know if that'll stop these kinds of fools from doing this kind of violence, but I'm glad they didn't get to hurt anybody last year. There is this thing called the Standard Model of Physics, and it's a theory which purports to describe how three of the four fundamental forces of the universe, the electromagnetic force, the strong force, and the weak force, behave and interact with each other. And the electromagnetic force is something you see, you deal with all the time. It's not just TV stuff and like that. It's light, magnetism, all chemistry, because that's how chemistry is being held together, by electrons and protons and their electric charge. And basically, all of the solid objects you see are solid because of the electromagnetic force, largely. And you also have, of course, gravity. And see, all of those are the four forces: electromagnetic, weak, strong, and gravitation. And three of those are in the Standard Model of Physics. And all of this is related to subatomic particles, which are associated with those three forces. The Standard Model does not address gravity, which is described by Einstein's general theory of relativity, nor does it describe a bunch of other physical phenomena. But some physicists are now thinking that experiments are showing that axions, a thing called axions, a theoretical and not yet discovered subatomic particle, may constitute the thing called, quote, dark matter, unquote. And yes, in your life, you, of these four forces, which, as far as we can tell, are the only forces in the universe, that it doesn't mean there isn't quintessence, a fifth force, but so far there's been no experimental evidence of such a fifth force. But we know that electromagnetism, strong and weak forces, and gravity, they're there. In your entire life, everything you deal with will either involve the electromagnetic force or gravity. That's it. So you can interact and know you're interacting with those two forces because they have a large reach. Gravity, of course, just reaches all over the place. The planets fly around under the influence of gravity. And electromagnetism, we see light from stars and galaxies that are billions of light years away. So it travels a long way. The strong and weak force are confined to the nucleus of the atom. The strong force is what keeps the nucleus together, because what you have, well, first of all, you have a hydrogen atom. That's just a proton. And, of course, in normal times, it attracts an electron. So one electron whips around the proton. That's a hydrogen atom. And the strong force is not working there because there's nothing for it to do. However, when you get up to helium, and we'll talk here about helium-4, general helium is helium-4, and it has two protons and two neutrons. And protons have a positive charge, and like charges repel. And so having two protons together, well, that would make it so that it has the proper charge for helium, but you couldn't keep it together because they're repelling each other with the electromagnetic force. So you need something strong to keep them together, and that happens when you get one or two neutrons in there. There's also helium-3, which is an odd form of helium. But anyway, you need a neutron or neutrons, especially a pair of neutrons, to keep helium together. And with that, you have the strong force working. And there are these things called gluons. And these are theoretical because you can't really, the scientists can't really isolate them. But they say, yeah, the way things are behaving, there must be these things called gluons that carry the strong force, which keeps two protons together in a helium atom, and so it doesn't fly apart. And, of course, this applies to all other atoms that are above helium because they've all got multiple protons. Some of them got a lot of protons in them. And so they need a lot of neutrons, and the strong force is really, really working in there. And the strong force has a range that is extremely short. It hardly covers a nucleus of an atom. And in fact, it doesn't cover a full nucleus. It covers a piece of it. And so you get some that's why you need the neutrons in there. And so that's the strong force, it's very powerful because it overcomes the electromagnetic force, which is itself very powerful. On the other hand, is gravity, which when you compare gravity to the electromagnetic force, gravity is 10 to the minus 39th power as strong as the electromagnetic force. And that means gravity is essentially extremely weak, but it's pervasive. And it goes out, and it really works for the whole universe. So, you also have the weak force, which is a strange little thing that works inside the nucleus again and is involved in radioactive decay. And when an atom decays, when fission happens, that's the weak force doing something in there. So, you've got the standard model talking about these three forces, and that's what we've had, and now they're looking at not an extra force, but another particle that may be doing something else. And scientists have been using gravitational lensing, and we've talked about that before. There's gravitational lensing in Einstein rings. Einstein rings are called Einstein because Einstein predicted them. What that is gravity bends space-time. And when electromagnetic phenomena like light start traveling through space, if the space bends, the electromagnetic radiation bends with it. And so what happens is you get, in some cases, if you get a very strong gravitational source just in the right place, and there's something in back of it that's generating light, you would see an actual ring around that strong gravitational source, and that's called an Einstein ring. Now, I don't know if there are any things that are quite that neat, but you get arcs. You get gravitational arcs, and so you'll see a picture of something, of some like distant galaxies, and you'll see like a smear in shape of an arc, and that's an Einstein ring that isn't quite symmetrical. I mean, I don't think they're ever symmetrical from our point of view. Maybe somewhere in the universe, somebody is able to see an actual ring. But the fact is, it's proven to be there because it shows that arc. So they're looking at how distorted things would be if WIMPs were causing the distortion versus how the distortion would look if it was caused by dark matter. Making dark matter made of axions would do it. So is the dark matter made of WIMPs or axions? And they ran the simulations, and the WIMP model didn't look much at all like the gravitational distortions that the observations had shown. But the axion model accurately pre-produced all of the features of the system. The result suggests axions are a more probable candidate for dark matter, and their ability to explain lensing anomalies and other astrophysical observations. This has some scientists very excited. American theoretical physicist, mathematician, and Nobel laureate, chief scientist at the Wilczek Quantum Center, Frank Wilczek, named the new hypothesis particle the axion, after a brand of laundry detergent. Do you remember Axion? I don't think it's sold anymore, but there was a laundry detergent I remember named Axion. And he named the new particle, theoretical particle, Axion, because it, quote, cleaned up, unquote, a problem in physics. And, well, I'm not going to go into that problem because that problem is like probably more than an hour of talking about it. But there was a problem in physics with, I won't even get into it at all. And the axion would fix that if it exists. So he won a Nobel Prize. He's a smart guy, and he came up with this axion thing. And so there's that. And I've been skeptical of a lot of the candidates for dark matter in the past, and in fact, I've been skeptical about dark matter even existing, because generally all that scientists have really found before this were various phenomena that did not necessarily mean that some sort of exotic matter was involved. There could be some other explanations for what's been observed, other than some sort of matter we can't see and which doesn't interact with anything being in the way. With this discovery of axions fitting the details of the gravitational lensing that's been observed, however, I'm thinking that maybe the scientists have hit upon something real this time. You know, maybe these axion things do exist, or something like them. But, you know, they put into the computer a lot of data, theoretical data, about what an axion would be like. And it fits what they're seeing. So, geez, maybe this is it. We'll see. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So they can't agree on much else in Washington, D.C., but the Democrats and Republicans in Congress are adamant about getting the government to disclose what information it has about space aliens. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has prepared legislation to create a commission with a lot of authority, and its main mission will be to declassify government documents about UFOs and extraterrestrial stuff. The idea behind this commission is to force the government to share everything it knows about unidentified phenomena. This commission is being partly justified as something that would fight against the wacky conspiracy hoaxes that surround anything to do with UFOs, which are now officially called unidentified aerial phenomena. Senator Schumer is going to make this commission an amendment to the annual defense policy bill. Apparently, it has bipartisan support, including that of Senator Mike Rounds, Republican of South Dakota, and Senator Marco Rubio, Republican of Florida, who has previously supported legislation to force the government to release a series of reports on unidentified phenomena. In the House, they already have something in their version of that defense bill that would pressure the Pentagon to release documents about unidentified aerial phenomena. President Biden would appoint a 9-person review commission subject to Senate approval. Supposedly, the idea here is that a group of people would be appointed to this commission who would push for disclosure while protecting sensitive intelligence collection methods. You know, there are these videos we've been seeing of things that our fastest fighter aircraft can't catch up to. And there's also the danger of letting Russia or China know just too much about our capabilities so that they could spot weaknesses. And so that's the real downside of this thing. Not just that they're probably going to spend millions of dollars on something that's probably pretty silly. You know, they're going to say, and here is what we see in this UAP thing. And the Russians and the Chinese are going to really examine those videos to see if there's anything they can learn about our military stuff from them. Now, all sorts of records have been released in the past, but because of the recent stuff around the fighter jets being outmaneuvered over American airspace, there's new stuff that some people want released. I think that in the end, there won't be much at all released that hasn't already been released. Is it really worthwhile to risk letting competitors know what the capabilities are of the United States military and intelligence agencies? I'm not sure about that. Yeah, I remember years ago, Uncle Sidney Smith, who's our pal and who opens up the program every week, Uncle Sidney had as a feature on his program a segment called UFO Desk, done by the late Paul Williams. The thing about Paul Williams was he believed people. If you told him that you had a UFO and it was hiding under the East River, he believed you. And he put you on the air. So, yeah, we used to have that kind of stuff. And I don't know, he's no longer with us. But I think if he were still with us, they might be taking him down to Washington, D.C. to testify about this as a great expert on the field. But I don't know, some of this stuff is just wacky and weird. Really, what I think this is about is I think all those Congress critters are looking for junkets. They want to go on free flying saucer rides. That's what they want.
Woke up this morning with light in my eyes, and then realized it was still dark outside. It was a light coming down from the sky. I don't know who or why. Must be those strangers that come every night. Those saucer-shaped lights put people uptight. Leave blue-green footprints that glow in the dark. I hope they get home all right. Hey!
policeman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride?
Woke up this morning, I was feeling quite weird. Had flies in my beard, my toothpaste was smeared. Over my window, they'd written my name. Said, so long, we'll see you again.
Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride? Please take me along. I won't do anything wrong. Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along for a ride?
I don't know that I'd let them on my flying saucer. It's the WBAI back of the book pitching train coming in here. Chugga chugga. Yes, here we go, folks. This is WBAI New York, as I think you all know by now. And this is listener-sponsored non-commercial radio. We are listener-sponsored and non-commercial. That's not a slogan. That's a real declaration. There are no commercials here. We're not selling you Chevys. We're not selling you all sorts of crap. We're not selling you land in Florida. Ooh, who would want to go to Florida? But we got bills. We have got bills, folks. And we got to pay those bills. And how do we get ourselves the money to pay those bills without doing commercials? We beg. We beg you. You, the listener. You become our sponsors. When we say listener-sponsored radio, we're not using a slogan. We're making an actual declaration. A legal declaration. We are sponsored by you, the listeners. How do you do that? How would you sponsor us if you would like to? And we really hope you want to. What you do is you go to your phone and you dial 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. And you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's the name of this radio program. And they'll pick up at the call center when you call 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up, you tell them, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. You give them your credit card or debit card number. And then you tell them how much you would like to donate on a monthly basis. And a BAI buddy is someone who is a sustaining member of WBAI, which means that you donate once a month to WBAI, a set amount of money. You can donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if possible, whatever you can there, but it has to be more than 10 bucks. And that's how you do it. You call up 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book and tell them how much you want to donate. You also tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card to be charged. And when you do that, you will become a BAI buddy and it'll be set up. And every month, they will charge your debit card or credit card with that amount of money. And so it'll be a steady thing. It'll be predictable for you. Very importantly, it'll be predictable for management, because one of the things at BAI that has happened in the past is we had no idea how much money was coming in when. Now we make a certain amount of money every month from BAI buddies because it's predictable. We know that this much money is coming in. However, so far it's not enough. and we need more BAI buddies. Also, if you want to become a member of WBAI, you can donate $25 or more and become a member of WBAI, a lump sum. If you want to donate like $100 one time, we'll take that too. Any amount of money you want to donate, $10 or above, again, to WBAI, call 1-212-209-2950 and tell them you want to make a one-time donation. Tell them how much. And you'll tell them how you want to either get billed for it or use your credit card or debit card right there, one time only. And that will be very good for BAI because we have these bills and we got to pay the bills. And you may have heard us talking about, oh, gee whiz, we're in trouble because we're so far behind in the rent for the tower, which is where the transmitter and antenna are. Well, we still are. And we're hanging around saying, boy, we sure hope they don't cut us off at any minute now. But that could happen. We need to catch up on this stuff. We need you to help us out. WBAI has been listener sponsored for, what is it now, 63 years? 63 years we have been listener sponsored and begging you. And, oh, man, we need to get some help here from you. We need you to help us. Help keep back of the book on WBAI and help keep WBAI on the air. You do that by calling 1-212-209-2950. Now, we just did a science thing, and you're not going to get a lot of that elsewhere. You're not going to get a lot of that in other places. And so we did a science thing, which is kind of a strange thing, axions and gravitational lensing. But, you know, it is cutting-edge science stuff, and yeah, we're not giving you math. And we have to do we have to do that without using any images. We got to paint word pictures for you of gravitational lensing and stuff. I hope we've done it well enough that it sounds, you know, that you understand that stuff and that I have the advantage of reading about this stuff with diagrams and things, and that you now have an idea that, gee, maybe they have an idea on what dark matter is. We also talk about political stuff and various things here on this program. You're not going to hear the same things on most radio programs. Other stations don't have people mouthing off like this. BAI does. Also, you have this interesting phenomenon of the overnight programs at WBAI. And yes, I know, by now it is dawn on Saturday. But, well, we won't get into that again. But we are still considered an overnight program. And at other times, other than summer and spring, it is dark at this hour. But midnight to 6 a.m. are considered overnight programs. And we're one of those. And so there is still talk of replacing all of the overnight programs with rented radio. Because BAI has a strong signal in the middle of the FM band, and there are proposals to just eliminate BAI's midnight to 6 a.m. overnight programs and rent out the station so that at midnight somebody would say, well, this is BAI New York, and they'd flip a switch, and all of a sudden a program from some other radio station or maybe a pre-recorded source, who knows, whatever it might be that they'll sell this to, will suddenly come over the air. And that will continue until 6 o'clock when they throw the switch again and BAI will return BAI programming to the air. But for the 6 hours, 7 days a week, you would get, I don't know what the hell they'd sell it to. So this is a problem that the overnights are especially facing. So please, if you could help us out, help keep WBAI going by calling 1-212-209-2950. When the call center picks up, say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of back of the book, and give them your information and how much you want to donate. And we hope that you will do that, 1-212-209-2950, because if people don't do that, we're not going to be on the air at all much longer.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So a week ago, an arrest was finally made of a suspect in what's come to be called the Gilgo Beach murders. A guy named Rex Hoyerman, a 59-year-old architect from Long Island, was arrested outside his office in Manhattan. There were 10 murder victims found in 2010 and 2011. Most had been buried along Gilgo Beach on Long Island. 8 women, a man of East Asian ethnicity who was dressed in women's clothing, and a toddler. This case had stalled for about a dozen years before the police in Suffolk County decided to pay attention to it again. I remember when they found the first victim buried near the beach. She was described as a sex worker. As they found more victims, most of them also appear to have been sex workers. This all started in May 2010 when sex worker Shannon Gilbert had disappeared on Long Island. She had made a 911 call as she was running away from someone, and she was screaming during this call. And on the 911 call, she screamed, quote, "Somebody's after me, please, no, no, stop, no," unquote. In looking for her, the police began to find others buried on Gilgo Beach and some other places. Some of the bodies had been dismembered and left in various places. And in all on Long Island, one of them sort of close to the border with New York City, but all on Long Island. And it's interesting that technology that either hadn't existed 12 years ago or has been improved a lot since then led to this guy's arrest. The serial killer had used a burner phone to contact the potential victims, and after he'd killed them, he used that phone to call relatives of some of the victims and taunt them. I guess he got his rocks off with that, but those phone calls appear to have played a major role in his being captured. It's being alleged that this guy, Hoyerman, had used a different burner phone to contact each of his victims, and after he'd kill one of them, he'd get rid of that burner phone. FBI investigators were able to triangulate the data from the different burner phones, and they noticed similarities. They saw that the phone calls went through 4 cell towers in the Massapequa Park area of Long Island, which turns out to be where this Hoyerman guy lives. The investigators figured that the serial killer was probably located in that area at or around the time of the murders. They also found that cell phone data put Hoyerman in the area around Gilgo Beach at about that time when one of the victims went missing. The FBI also traced calls from the burner phones to a part of Midtown Manhattan, which turned out to be where Hoyerman has an office. So the task force that was looking into this cold case started looking at Hoyerman, and they grabbed a partially eaten pizza crust that he'd thrown into garbage earlier this year, and there they found his DNA, which matched what's described as a male hair found on the burlap that was used to restrain and transport the naked corpse of one of the victims. So they got his DNA right there with the victim. So after his arrest, they got a search warrant, and they found something like 200 guns in Hoyerman's house. He had permits for 92 of them. Good thing they arrested him on the street in Manhattan. That could have been a hell of a shootout. Police in other cities and states are looking to see if Hoyerman's DNA matches any that's been found in association with victims of serial killings in those other places. I mean, even in Nevada and other places, they're looking around to see if they've got anything related to this guy. The people with the task force that caught the suspect, who has pleaded not guilty, noted that they'd restarted the search for the serial killer a year ago, and that this task force, had not been bothered by outside or political forces. So this is a case where years ago, certainly in the 20th century, they probably would not have been able to catch anyone for the murders. But now, between people finding cell phones to be so much a part of their lives that they don't even think about them, even if they use a burner phone, and with not paying attention to leaving DNA around, someone gets caught. So that's an interesting thing here. And it was interesting also that they made the remark that there was no political interference. And I don't know. There may have been political interference 12 years ago when this all started. So, how did that happen? What connections does Mr. Heuermann have? Innocent until proven guilty, of course. Hey, my dear, is it hot enough for you?
Oh, very funny, Artball.
Yes, and we're watching the heat taking over the Northern Hemisphere, and there are heat domes around the Northern Hemisphere, and oh boy, in New York, it's hot and often humid. It's exacerbated by the damned cloud of smoke that now and again comes down. But it's not just us. It's all of the Northern Hemisphere. And around Florida, the water is in the 90s and it's bleached out the coral. They showed on TV some people who have been replanting the coral, putting it back in there for years because it's been getting wrecked. And they went back and looked at the coral they'd planted. It's all white. It's all bleached out. So 2023 is going to go down in history as the year everybody says, well, almost everybody says, yeah, it is a climate crisis. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is...
Well, first let me say Ecologic has moved to a new day and time, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. But coming up next now is Explorations with Dr. Michio Kaku.
And we're supposed to be back here next week at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning. So it's going to be hot and all of that, but we're going to be in midsummer, which is a lovely time mostly, and you should enjoy that. And yeah, the heat will probably relent a bit for a while, but it is summertime. So enjoy what you can. Look at the sights. There are birds flying around. There are flowers growing. And above all, remember what that thinking about a laundry detergent as being dark matter Dormouse said.
Winding your way down on Baker Street, light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day, you'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but
weekend of July 22nd and 23rd is Ancestor Remembrance Weekend for CEMOTAP. We will hold two virtual fundraisers via Zoom that weekend. The first program on Saturday, July 22nd at 2 p.m. is a fundraiser for WBAI. It is called Remembering Dr. S. Allen Counter. He sought his brother and found the maroon within. The second program on Sunday, July 23rd, is the 25th annual salute to Professor John Henry Clark, and it begins at 2 p.m. Speakers over the weekend include Brother Herb Boyd, Brother Playfell Benjamin, Dr. Tyreen Wright, Dr. Henry McCurtis, Dr. Cheryl Cottrell, Baba Tashango and Billy Shaka, Dr. Adelaide Sanford, Nana Betty Dobson, Dr. LaFrancis Rogers Rose, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Rosalind Jeffries, Dr. Malefi Asante, and myself, Dr. James McIntosh. Admission is free for both programs. For further details, call 347-907-0629. That's 347-907-0629.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
Welcome to K-Wave USA, the show that has finally moved to Saturdays at 8 p.m. You know K-Wave USA, the show that plays nothing but K-pop. Yeah, that's Korean pop music, like Blackpink, BTS, even Psy's Gangnam Style from back in the day. But it is so much more because it's a music industry from South Korea that actually has its roots based on the American Motown sounds. Plus, also, it's what all the kids are listening to. And it's also family friendly. It's super poppy, super happy. It's basically ear Prozac. Some of the songwriters and composers are American. Shout out to all the Asian American idols. Looking at you, Jesse, who hails from NYC. So come and support the Asian American community. K-Wave USA, we've been on the air for the last 5 years. And now we're finally at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me. And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Let's say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
This is WBAI, and this is Fred Eagle Smith for WBAI in New York. Stick it in your ear.